played this instrument before. This is a replica of an 1840s banjo by a banjo maker named Boucher or Boucher. And basically, it also has a fretless neck. It's a low-tuned instrument also. Just to get technical for a second, the earliest banjo books have you tuned down to a D chord with a dropped fourth string, a fourth below. And when you play bluegrass today, it's up in G, so this is much lower. Then by the mid-1860s, everything moved up from D to E, and then finally at the turn of the century up to G. So the banjo players are getting ever more tense and tight as society puts its grip. Oh, no, never mind. I'm not going to go there. So this is the mellow, relaxed mid-1800s. The very first banjo books feature music that was used in the minstrel shows, and obviously the social aspects of minstrelsy are abhorrent, but the music that's there in these books is really fascinating to me. And when I first heard some of this music, I just completely flipped out over it. I was at the, maybe have mentioned this before, but if you haven't heard it, there's something called the Tennessee Banjo Institute in 1988, 90, and 92 down in Lebanon, Tennessee, and it was kind of like being at a bluegrass festival for a weekend, except instead of all those stupid instruments like guitars and mandolins and fiddles, it was just banjos. What could be better than having 200 or 300 banjo players hanging out for a weekend? Can you just imagine how wonderful that was? Can you just picture yourself there? Anyway, in 1990, that's when I first heard some of these people playing minstrel music, and I knew what was going on with the banjo at the turn of the century, but didn't know anything that preceded it. And when I started hearing people playing on instruments like this, I could hear all that African thing and just hearing the whole thing going back and back and back, and it was a very emotional thing for me to hear this. And what the minstrels did, they were basically, minstrel shows took place in the north, Boston, Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, places like that. And the musicians, at least in these books, claimed to have gone down to the plantations down south and listened to the blacks playing music, singing songs, and you know, the whites would just do kind of stereotypical versions of these tunes. But so, and what they did is they took the black influence, and they also took Celtic influences and mixed them together. And for that reason, some people talk about minstrelsy as being not only America's first popular entertainment, but kind of America's first rock and roll. You had the whole African rhythmic aspect plus the European influence from the British Isles. And the instrumentation often in these shows was banjo, looking something like this, or exactly like this in some cases, fiddle, bones, which was sort of like castanets, so you would play with your hands, and tambourine, and once in a while a concertina, or maybe someone playing triangle. And people would cork up in blackface and do some of these tunes. One of the tunes I find fascinating out of the very first banjo instruction book is one called Whoop Jamboree, which is most likely of African origin. And I'll play it for you now. Whoop Jamboree has a really unusual kind of feel to it.